What week is this? Thanksgiving week. Some things come to your mind automatically. If you're a student in school, you're thinking about getting out early, maybe half a day on Wednesday. You're out of school Thursday and Friday for sure. If you are a wife and a mother, you're probably thinking about cooking. If you're not a vegetarian, you're thinking about a turkey. Otherwise, you're thinking about fake turkey in some form. Cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie, potatoes of some manner, maybe potato salad or baked potatoes. Food just generally is associated with Thanksgiving Day. I like to watch the parades that come on early. Some of you like to watch football. It's all predictable. I promise you that whatever the businesses are selling, they go on sale, S-A-L-E. Thanksgiving Day Harvest Festival sale. Buy your television now. Automobiles go on sale. Clothing will be discounted 50, 60, 80%. And you better get it this week because they're running out of clothing. Or so they say. Take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. I want to change this week just a little bit for you because in some capacity, you are thinking about Thanksgiving Day, what it means to you. And I hope that as a result of what we do in this place today, that something good will come to you. I don't often preach against things. I would rather be positive and preach for something. But today I want to preach against the spirit of unthankfulness. I believe the spirit of unthankfulness can be classified as a sin. And I can prove to you that some people who profess to be born again, who profess to have the Spirit of God living and dwelling in them, have the spirit of unthankfulness. And this should not be. Can I get a witness? And for this week, it would change your life if the spirit of unthankfulness could be dissolved and the spirit of thankfulness could come back in its place. Now I'm going to prove to you from the book of Romans just how important it is to have a spirit of thankfulness. Would you turn there with me? Romans chapter 1. If you do not have a spirit of thankfulness, I want you to understand what's going to happen. You're not going to go to heaven. You're going to spend eternity with the devil and all of those who follow him. There's no way to miss it. It is predictable. It is scripturally sound that if you are unthankful, you are unholy and you are unrighteous. Now, I'm not just making this up. I think Scripture will prove to you this morning that in the Christian community, the spirit of unthankfulness does not begin in its totality as just making someone totally unthankful. You don't arrive at that place just instantly. It takes a while for a Christian to move from being a thankful person to one who is unholy and unthankful. It is a downward spiral. It is a process. but it's predictable. Now, I'm going to read some scripture in Romans chapter 1, and I want you to follow along with me. I'd like to begin with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And I want you to believe today that if you are unthankful, if you have the spirit of unthankfulness in your heart, you are ungodly. Now this is serious. You cannot be godly and holy and unthankful at the same. Verse 18, Romans 1. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. When I first started working on this a couple of weeks ago, I had the supposition in my mind that the last phrase there in verse 18 was talking about men and women of Israel, people of faith. And they are included in that group, but that's not the primary purpose here of the word of Scripture. It's speaking of humanity in general, who really should hold the truth, except this bunch of people hold the truth in unrighteousness. So I set out to figure out what that unrighteousness was. You could define sin. I know that you can. Sin is defined scripturally as the sin of omission, something that we know is right to do and we don't do it. That is a definition of sin. Another definition of sin is an act. If we perform an act that is against the law of God, then that is sin. There's also a state of being called sin. And we were discussing this briefly in Sabbath school this morning. But in Romans chapter 1, he's talking about humanity who really should be holding the truth of God as it is in God, but we hold it in an unrighteous state. Now let's see if we can figure out from the Bible and the Bible only what the big push here is really all about. What's the issue here? We know that God is upset with unrighteousness. A better word would be disappointed. He knows all the benefits that come to an individual if they would be godly and holy and righteous and thankful. God knows all the blessings that would come to people. And yet so many thousands of people choose to be ungodly and unrighteous and unthankful. But really we are without excuse. And the heathen are without excuse. In our country, we would say that the Christian community is without excuse. Because nature and revelation alike reveal there is a God. Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Here. He says the invisible things are clearly seen. Well, how? Listen to me, please. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Humanity stands before the judgment bar of God without an excuse for disobedience and for the spirit of unthankfulness. We serve a creator God who put our world into existence And even more than that, the burden here of Romans chapter 1 is to show that we have a Savior that's come to us. His name is Jesus Christ, simplified in the story of the gospel. As Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Therefore, I have a spirit of thankfulness in my heart. But if you are unthankful, it is predictable what shall happen to you. You can begin with a spirit of thanksgiving. You can begin with a genuine knowledge that we have a Creator God, a Savior God, but through time and circumstance, your life can take a spiral downward until you end up here, as the Bible says in Romans 1, lost and ungodly and without hope. I don't want you to be there. I don't want you to be unthankful. It leads to destruction. It leads to eternal damnation. And by the way, when you get up in the morning, you choose whether or not you are going to be thankful or unthankful. I know bad things happen to good people. We've been over and over this here from the pulpit. We say we have a bad job. We say we're married to the wrong person. God forbid, but it happens. We say we had the wrong parents. We say we were born too short. I don't know if I ever met anybody that thought they were too tall. Certainly some people think they're too wide, too thin. But it's not God's plan that we remain victimized. We shall see from Scripture that we are without excuse when we stand before God, because we do have a Savior. We shall be without excuse. I've been trying to be more positive in my own personal life. When you intentionally plan to be positive, it will be revealed to you how negative you really are. I was studying one commentator this week, and he says, for all of humanity, they at times do what they know to be wrong and omit what they know is right. We don't want to make excuses, do we, for the way we live? It's okay to face reality, but that's the reason that we have a Savior. So, the argument here of Paul is, it is predictable. If you are unthankful, you are in a downward spiral of your life, and you shall spend eternity with the same consequences as Satan himself. Here's why it's so bad. Notice verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Now you can argue with me a little bit if you want to this morning, but I believe there in that place, we can surely include those who claim to be born again and who have received Christ as their Savior. These are people like us who sit down to the table on Thursday and someone asks the blessing. And usually at my house, I'm the one that asks the blessing to pray. I mean, I'm the one asked to have the blessing. But it says here that these people, when they knew God, when they've recognized His power and His glory and even all the benefits of serving Him, they glorified Him not as God. Can anyone here tell me what the next phrase is in verse 21? Neither were they thankful. What is the opposite of being thankful? It would be unthankful, wouldn't it? So here's a group of people who glorify Him not as God because they are unthankful. But they became vain in their imaginations. I promise you, whatever the conscience condemns, the mind will justify. We become imaginative with sin. That comes from a foolish heart. I was thinking of the text in Malachi that speaks about robbing God. And that's the source for good stewardship preaching. Wherein have we robbed God? I would include in that, if we are unthankful, we are robbing God of all the blessings that are His. If this week you will purposefully think before you open your mouth in the morning and in the middle of the day and the evening to everyone you associate with, to the best of your ability, if you will pray, God, reveal to me how I can have a thankful spirit. Reveal to me the negativism in my life and the unthankfulness in my life. Show it to me, Lord. I think you will be pleasantly surprised that it's a growth area in your life. Paul writes here in a way that is so colorful. He doesn't leave anything out. He says that for these people, who begin that journey of life downward, being unthankful. He says eventually, in verse 22 here, that they professed themselves to be wise. But instead they became as fools. Are you aware in Scripture of the earliest record where people started worshiping idols? I found it this week. It's in the book of Joshua. And I want to preach on it. It's some good material. Scholars tell us that many of the ancient civilizations did not worship idols. Many of those scholars believe that the idol worship came out of the Hebrew, it came out of people associated with a Jehovah God. God forbid that this should happen, but here in the book of Romans, it seems to tell us in verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And if you want to know the sad story, just read on. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. That'd be a good question to ask this morning, wouldn't it? Bow your head, close your eyes, and let the pastor know if you have any vile affections. It ain't going to happen here. Well, let's read on. I'm telling you, a lot of things change because of the spirit of unthankfulness. verse 26. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now I'm suggesting to you, all of this downward spiral started with a spirit of unthankfulness. Do you believe me? Before your feet ever hit the floor in the morning, it would be wonderful if we could get our mind in the right place, get our attitude adjusted. Used to have a member of my church. Some of you may remember him. His name was Titus Frazee. I had five congregations in a district I pastored over in Alabama years ago. We were meeting in a trailer, and before we left, we had a church building. But this man, each Sabbath, would greet me with the words, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will be glad and rejoice in it." And he could barely walk. His speech was slurred because of a stroke. And here I was, young and good looking and full of wisdom and have my whole future ahead of me. And some days my feet would hit the floor and I would think, "Oh no, this is just another day." That, my friend, is a spirit of unthankfulness, which if cherished and allowed to grow in the mind, it will take you to places and circumstances that you don't want to go. It's predictable. You will go there. Notice verse 29. Now, if this is a description that you want for yourself, or for your wife, or your husband, or your children, just slough me off today, slough the scripture off today, and this is where you will find yourself. I'm telling you. It always happens this way. The spirit of unthankfulness leads people to be filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful even, in verse 31. The Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write those words. But the only way they have a meaning for us today is to be received into the human heart. And that's what I wish I could do for you. I've already determined I want to be as thankful as God will let me be. I want to see, at least for the years, I have left, I want to see what we can be thankful for. Maybe it's human nature to always look for that which is wrong. And if we want to look for something to be unthankful for, I guess we can find it. I mean, I could give you a long list this morning. But that's not the spirit of righteousness. That's not the spirit of holiness. That is the spirit of ungodliness. So, how do we move from being unthankful to being thankful? Count your blessings, name them one by one. You know, I tried to find that song and I couldn't find it. I guess I had the wrong title. Debbie even helped me look for it. It's in the old hymnal, but not in this one, correct? We just couldn't find it. I wanted to sing it today. How about being around people who are thankful? You know, each Sabbath, you folk greet me, Pastor, how are you? How do you feel? And I greet you the same way. How are you today? Wouldn't it be terrible if someday I were to say to you, life is just sorry, I wish I could die. I didn't wish to come to church today. I've had the worst life of anybody on earth. What would you do? You'd probably whisper and say, he needs some therapy. He needs some therapy. The Bible says to praise him in song, to praise him in prayer, to praise him with dance. And I'm going to let you interpret that one for today. Praise him, all you nations, all you creatures. This week, in a way determined in your own heart, I'm asking you to purposefully and intentionally place yourself where God can reveal to you if there is a spirit of unthankfulness in your heart, and that God will reveal to you how you can turn that from unthankfulness into thankfulness. And I promise you that he will. You will not be disappointed. Wonderful Lord, during this week where we've designated only one day as Thanksgiving Day nationally, we appeal to you to let us make every day a day of thanksgiving and praise, that we will be mindful of the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can rejoice in knowing that no matter what is happening in our life, we have a sustaining God. We have a Savior God. We have you who has promised to never leave us, never to desert us. Some of us here, dear Lord, need to grow in that area. We've not habitually practiced rejoicing. We have not intentionally began each day with thanksgiving. Please, let this day begin that within each of us here. Change our church into thanksgiving. If you'd like that to begin with you today, would you quickly raise your hand and put it down again? God bless you. Now, Lord, may we have your blessing as we leave this place. Whatever duties are ours this week, we are grateful and we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name.